The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hi, it is good to have you with us on this community, the Rescue Worker community. It is good to have you with us today as we continue our study of Luke, studying the life of Jesus through the lens of Luke. We are on the second day of the 13th week of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And today we'll be studying verse 38 of chapter 6. And I'm so glad that you are with us today. Well, we know that the only way for us to accomplish what we're studying here, and we're studying the love for others and the love through the love being expressed on not judging, condemning, and forgiving people, and today we'll see giving to people, right? The only way for us to accomplish that is through our model. And the model for Jesus' apprentices is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. It is based on this model that we are able to love people unconditionally and be able not to judge, condemn, give forgiveness, and give abundantly. Well, we need to follow Jesus' example. And that is what our memory verse claims. Our memory verse for this week comes from Luke 6, verse 40. And the memory verse says, students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. What a beautiful goal to accomplish, to become like the teacher. And our teacher, our master, our rabbi, as Jesus Christ. We'll be studying this verse very soon, and we'll try to grasp some of the ideas. But here is the goal. Because Jesus was merciful, because God is merciful, we need to learn with Him. We need to not judge, not condemn, provide forgiveness, and give abundantly. And the only way to do that is through the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, is through a daily connection with God, is with fellowship with Jesus Christ, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we need to come before God, be in fellowship with Him every single day. And we know every time we approach God, Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it the most. God will provide whatever we need and comes in form of grace and mercy. And it is this grace and mercy that will allow us to not judge, not condemn, to forgive and give. So, at this moment, I want to give you 1 minute for you to connect with God, to align yourself with God this morning, asking God to help you to be like the Master, asking God to open your eyes and ears for the message that we'll be studying today, and asking God to work in your heart and transform you so we can reflect the image and the likeness of God. So take this time right now to be with God and pray and be connected with Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for bringing us together to study your word. Thank you for the community, the rescue worker. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come close to you and be transformed by you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us unconditionally, accepting us the way we are. And through your love, transforming us according to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Open our eyes to see your will for us. Prepare our heart to receive your seed. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are studying the Sermon of the Plain. On this sermon, we are studying who God is, what His kingdom is all about, and how we, as citizens of this kingdom, created according to the image of God and into His likeness, we should behave. And one thing is clear, our God is a loving God. And He loves unconditionally. And He loves abundantly. And He is merciful, compassionate. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. That's Luke 6:36. So this loving God that has a loving kingdom, that has loving citizens, ask us to live on a loving modus operandi modus, right? A loving way of life. This loving way of life will be able to love those that are our enemies, those that don't think like us, those that don't behave like us, those that oppose to us, hating us, excluding us, making fun of us, and cursing us. This love will be able to go beyond this exchanging tactic that we usually apply and live, right? Is based on reciprocity. I do, and you do, right? I give, and then I respect something back, right? This love that's not based on feelings, but in principle, can move and go beyond the ways of the world. And this love is merciful when someone makes mistakes. Because the way of God's kingdom is a merciful system. Every time someone fails, we should present mercy. A mercy that will not judge, condemn. A mercy that will offer forgiveness and give abundantly. We're talking about mercy. who God is, what His kingdom is all about. We are talking about who we're created to be, merciful people. And yesterday I focused on this concept that what God asked for us of not judging, not condemning, and forgiving is not annihilating the moral code or ethics, right? No, that's not what God is saying here. And when we come to Luke chapter 11, we'll see that God goes against those that don't uphold the moral aspects, right? God is not saying, no, it's okay, you cannot judge, everybody can do whatever they want. It is, no, that's not what God is saying here. God is saying, as someone goes against the law and the principles of God and maybe goes against you, you will not first, and what we studied yesterday, will not make that action as an aspect of identity. And I think I gave the illustration of lying. Let's say someone was not completely, he didn't use truth, right? He lied. It's not because he lied that I'll consider, judge him, and condemn him as a liar. Oh, you didn't use the truth here, therefore you are a liar. And because you're a liar, I will treat you as a liar. And I will not believe on you, I will not trust your word, and when someone asks me or say something, you say, don't believe on that person because it's a liar. So the Bible say, hey, don't condemn that person, and don't condemn that person to live under that label. Be merciful. Don't do that because you are not entitled, and you cannot read the intentions in the heart, only God. So yes, you can see the action, but you cannot make judgment towards the person and label that person and condemn that person to an identity or even to a label and let that person there know. You need to release that person. You cannot condemn. You are not allowed to do that. But we see here and we will understand that, yes, we should approach in a merciful way, trying to help people and say, hey, I realize you're not completely truth here. What happened? How can I help you? A merciful attitude. And this mercy attitude as well, and I wanna share that yesterday because of our time, I didn't have time to explore that. It is the idea that yes, if someone made a mistake, and maybe you don't go to labeling or attributing that mistake as part of the identity of the person and condemning that person to that label, but let's say someone made a mistake. Mercifully, you will embrace that mistake. You will not just condemn that person and will not just say, hey, you forever are connected and bounded to the action that you did. No, I will release that person from the bounding of that action. The disciples of Jesus, they are supposed to be proclaiming of the good news, not bounding people to wrongdoers or wrong deeds. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So the verse that we're studying today, verse 38, it's part of what we're studying, verse 37. And here we have four imperatives, four directions coming from God. Two are negative and two are positive. The first one is do not judge. That's a negative. And do not condemn. So those are the two negative imperatives. And then we have two positive imperatives. The first we studied yesterday was forgive. And the second comes from verse 38. Give. You need to give. Give what is necessary. Give. So what God is saying is, yes, you're not only will not judge, not condemn, and will not hold that person bounded to the wrong deed or the wrong label. So you're supposed to release that person, offering forgiveness, but you need to give to that person. You see, the mercy of God, the love of God in our heart should lead us to go beyond the ways of this world. The love of God should help us and enable us on expressing the love to other people, moving towards of giving and giving abundantly. So being merciful with the wrong deeds or with the mistakes of the people, being merciful the way you deal with those that did a mistake includes not judge them, not condemning them, forgive them, and giving. And giving in what, let's say, quantity or what measure, right? And that what comes next. Give and you receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. What is talking about here? So Jesus is teaching the measure or the quantity that we are supposed to give, that we're supposed to express mercy. And here he's using something that maybe we haven't realized, but it's a language that is familiar to us in a sense. At the time when someone would buy, let's say, grains, let's say corn grains, okay? A person maybe would buy or receive a cup of corn grains, okay? So a measure cup. And we have measure cups for flour when we're cooking and all that. But let's say we have, back in Jesus' day, this measure cup. So let's say you're buying or getting some corn. So people would put corn on this cup, right? Well, it's the measure of the cup. It's full. However, what we see here, they press down. So they get that corn and they press in the cup so the cup can hold more grains of corn. So the idea of pressing down is to carry more of the product. But don't stop there. Shake it together to make more room. Make room for more. So if you put the cup, you press and then you shake it so the grains can find its spot coming together and make more space for you to put what? More grains. So the measure cup, let's say, is the same, but is carrying, and you're using the measure cup to receive more and more grains. And you put, but you just don't put to fill the cup, you put to overflow the cup. So, how much should I give? How much mercy should be expressed in a merciful or not, in a way that is abundantly. And not just their overflow. And the Bible verse says to make room running over and pour out into your lap. So what that means? If you remember, and we talked about that a few weeks ago, about the cape, right, that people had. So they had at least two layers of clothes. They had their tunic, right, the underwear, right, and they had a cape, a coat, right, around themselves. Usually they had a belt on that coat, so making kind of a pocket here, and maybe, yeah, like here, right? So because my button is here, I have kind of a pocket, a space. So people would carry the purchases, whatever, with at the time, on kind of this pocket that they made with their coat. Right, the belt was around, so they put that, right? So what the Bible is saying, yes, you're getting for yourself a cup that was measured with grace, abundantly with the product. But just not the cup, but also the overflow of that. So you're receiving much more than the measurement. You are receiving abundantly. My father, he likes to drink a juice of sugar cane. I don't know if you have tried that, taste that. That's something very familiar in some countries like Brazil. And there are places, right, that they prepare this juice, the sumo, right, of the sugar cane. They press the sugar cane, the sugar juice comes, and you drink it. So it's very strong. It's a kind of a little sweet for some, right? And my father, if it's possible, he drinks one cup a day. Is that he goes to drink this sugar cane juice, they give him what they give an overflow. So he takes two or three sips, right, of the cup, and people say, okay, I have something left here, so you can drink more, right? And there are places, no, it's just one cup, you're drinking just that. So my father, he tries to go to those places that he can drink a little bit more. The overflowing, the generosity of people. And what God is saying here, I'm a generous God. I give mercy abundantly. Abundantly. So you should do the same. You should offer mercy to those that made a mistake. Abundantly. And this generosity of mercy will help you not to judge, not to condemn, but to forgive and give. Then you may say, Pastor, but that's too much. I'm losing here, right? What is going on? I'm already not judging, not condemning, forgiving. Now I need to give. Am I losing here? Right? I have done enough. And what God is saying, no, you're not losing. And you're not losing, you know why? And here comes the end of the verse 38. The amount you give will determine the amount you will get back. You will receive from God much more. If you use the generous cup of mercy with other people, God will continue using his generous cup of mercy with you. And I can tell you, the generosity of God is larger, higher than ours. You're not losing. Because as you give out of generosity, you become more like God, according to His image and His likeness. You're treating people with dignity based on their dignity and their image of God and likeness, not based on their actions. It's based on a principle. And you know that you have been receiving and receive based on God's generosity. That is so powerful. And I tell you, that's the way I want to experience forgiveness and mercy towards my mistakes. And that's somehow the way I want to experience for other people as they deal with my mistakes. And that's how we should lead and treat people. We should not condemn people based on the mistakes that they made. And condemning them or judging them as their identity, or saying, because of that, forget about it. It is done. There is no turning back. Leave that person in prison because of that mistake. We should be merciful. Merciful. Mercy should be emerge in generosity abundantly. Is that easy? No. Is that something natural of us? No. That is only by God's grace. It is a miracle. And for miracle to take place, for miracles to take place, we must be connected with God. We must surrender. And here's the point that I want to finish our study today. Those four imperatives are an invitation of surrendering. Because for ourselves, we cannot judge, not condemn. For ourselves, we cannot provide forgiveness or even give abundantly. That's not natural to us. That doesn't come from us. And doing that for those that made a mistake or they are opposing us, expressing their hate, excluding us, mocking us, cursing us, those that don't think like us, behave, it's not natural. Requires a miracle, a divine miracle. Therefore, we need to surrender and ask for this miracle, this transformation. So the four imperatives are invitations for surrender. Yes, I'm not supposed to judge. Therefore, I need to surrender to God because naturally I judge. I like to judge. I feel good judging people. Yes, I'm not supposed to condemn. But that's the way I like. Okay, I judge, I condemn, I don't need to be around you. That's good. I need to surrender so I don't act that way. For me to release people from a label or from the bounding of a wrong deed, I need a miracle. I need to surrender to God because I cannot do it by myself and give to that person. And give abundantly, a measure that will overflow? No. The four imperatives are an invitation for surrender. Are you surrendering? Are you fighting the way of this world? Are you surrendering and seeking to live God's kingdom's principles and values? It's a question of surrender. So I want to challenge you. It is time to surrender. Surrender that feeling. Surrender that thought. Surrender that action. We must surrender. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy that is abundantly, that we receive every single day. And help us, Lord, as we experience this mercy, to express this mercy to everyone. To express this mercy to those that are not like us. To those that oppose us, hate us. To those that exclude us, mock us, and curse us. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. Help us, Lord, to make the difference, being the salt and the light, being kingdom agents, to demonstrate the kingdom values and principles where they are not present. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to the questions of reflection. And here they are. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? May God bless you. May God help you to surrender every single day so we can not forgive, so we cannot judge, not condemn, provide forgiveness, and give abundantly. Tomorrow, as we continue this study, we will reflect upon the first parable of the Gospel of Luke here. And yes, it's related to loving one another. It's relating of forgiving one another and not judging, not condemning people. So I hope to see you tomorrow. But remember, you need to surrender in order to live the principles and values of the kingdom.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.